You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A shot to save the world, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine, is a new book by Wall Street Journal reporter Gregory Zuckerman. The book follows scientists' once-in-a-lifetime race to create a COVID-19 vaccine. Zuckerman takes us inside top secret laboratories, corporate arguments, and government negotiations that all played a part in determining just how fast a vaccine would be made. And Gregory is joining us today to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Oh, great to be here.
So, Gregory, you interviewed, holy cow, more than 300 scientists and executives, as well as investors, for this book. Did you find any common thread among them?
I did. The people that are responsible for these revolutionary, even miraculous vaccines are not the people you would have thought would have saved us. In other words, they're not the vaccine giants, people like Merck and Sanofi and GSK. They either didn't step up or weren't successful. All the people that were successful in some ways were outsiders, were unlikely outsiders. Moderna, this company BioNTech in Germany that linked forces with Pfizer, a few of the other people I write about. And there was a lot more drama than I'd expected.
Which I find fascinating, right? That there's all this drama because you don't think of scientists as having a lot of drama, but you definitely dispel that myth in the book.
That's exactly right. So I came at this as an outsider. I'm not from the world of science. And what I found were the people behind the scenes, the scientists, the researchers, the executives, they're competitive, they're jealous, they're ambitious. They have spent, they're resilient. They've spent literally years, and it was very reassuring. These aren't overnight success stories, these vaccines, as much as opponents say. They spent years working on these approaches. So yeah, all that drama and the quirky personalities surprised me in some ways.
So, you know, in the book, you really do write about, I think it's fair to call them unsung heroes. These are the scientists whose work basically has been underappreciated for years, if not decades. But then they had to literally take all of that years of work and find a vaccine within months. When you interviewed these scientists, did they think they could do it?
So it's interesting. On the eve of the pandemic, January of 2020, you had these scientists, these researchers, these companies that thought they had revolutionary vaccine approaches. We're talking mRNA, discuss it more, this adenovirus approach, which led to other vaccines like the J&J one. So they were pretty confident, but they weren't certain. So they'd spent years honing these approaches, improving them, but they never knew for sure because things that they had used them for, things like the earlier SARS virus, MERS, other kind of things, they had usually petered out before they had a chance to know for sure. So even they were confident, but they weren't certain that they could be the ones to save us all.
You know, in the book, you point out that these vaccines really are among humankind's most unexpected achievements. And as we just talked about, I mean, this wasn't some overnight success or sensation, right? These scientists have been working on these for decades. I mean, as far back as 1990, when we look at the mRNA in particular. So talk a little bit, you know, about that, about how, you know, you believe that this is such a high achievement, but also that, you know, it wasn't like 6 months and they found this.
Yeah, I think we're a little too close to what happened to appreciate the miracle of these things. I mean, they really are modern science's greatest achievement. You could say business too. I mean, business stepped up as well. And we'll appreciate it more in time and over time, I think. And right, on the one hand, they're overnight success stories, meaning that we never had proven mRNA to be successful until this year. But the real story is how they persevered and they dedicated themselves to these approaches over decades. As you say, mRNA, I start off with a really fascinating scientist named John Wolfe in Wisconsin, who in 1990 was working with children with genetic issues, abnormalities. And he said, well, it's not helping. I can't help these children. I want to help these children. So I'm going to try to figure out a way with mRNA. And mRNA is just a molecule. It's a molecule we all have. It transports. The M is for messenger. It brings the instructions from DNA into the part of the cell where proteins are created. And the scientists like John Wolfe always said, well, okay, mRNA is really helpful to our bodies. What if we created it in the lab? A recombinant, as they call it, mRNA. Mm-hmm. And people dismissed his work. People dismissed other people, other pioneers. They said, yeah, no, it's not going to work. The conventional wisdom was that mRNA wouldn't work as a drug or a vaccine. And I give people like John Wolfe so much credit, and they're fascinating, dedicated researchers who just don't get enough credit. And that's part of why I wrote this book.
You know what I think was interesting about that story as well, though, is that it was around these children who have these genetic disorders. And I think that if mRNA was used and it was effective in children with these genetic issues, I wonder if we would have the type of backlash that we have today around the mRNA vaccine. Yeah, and I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a good question. Sadly, everything is politicized today. Everything. So I wonder if we was a way to avoid it, unfortunately. But listen, it took years of research, and I don't think people are aware. And that's part of the reason people are wary. But also, I think we have to give the Trump administration some credit as well. Operation Warp Speed was effective. I don't think it was responsible for these vaccines, but it contributed. So sadly, we haven't, I think everybody from both sides of the spectrum should get behind and appreciate these vaccines. They're not 100% effective. There are potential side effects. One can't be naive about it, but relative to the ills of COVID, and I've seen it up close and personally, these are almost miraculous, these vaccines.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Wall Street Journal reporter Gregory Zuckerman about his new book. It's called A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. So I want to talk a little bit about continuing to find vaccines for other variants of COVID. You talk about in the book that you do believe that they will, I mean, in particular for the Delta variant or other variants that emerge. But with that said, we're not going to eradicate this. I mean, that ship has sailed. In fact, here in Idaho in particular, we are still in the midst of this pandemic. We are in the middle of a surge. We are in crisis standards of care in our hospitals. We have literally had health leaders in this state say that we have, quote, lost the war. With that said, this, right. This will become endemic. How do you believe that will look?
So I'm going to give you some good news and bad news. I'll start with the bad news.
Okay.
This isn't going away. We're going to be stuck with this virus for years to come. But I do believe it's going to eventually melt into the background and be like other coronaviruses that do affect us as well. They bring us colds and ills and sickness. But I think we can handle them. And the beauty of mRNA is it's a vaccine that all you need is the sequence of the virus, the genetic sequence, and they can go in the lab and create this mRNA and put it into a virus. And also they're developing, these same people I write about in my book, A Shot to Save the World, these same researchers are working on second and third generation vaccines that will do things like combine flu and COVID vaccine into one. So you go in every year or so to your doctor's office and you get a shot and takes care of both of them. They're working on using these same techniques for other things, cancer, malaria, multiple sclerosis. I'm optimistic. I'm not confident, but I'm optimistic about the future. So yes, I don't think this is going away. It's going to be endemic. And there are going to be areas, unfortunately, especially where people are not vaccinated, where it crops up, unfortunately, and you see COVID affecting people, and it's going to be sad, but we'll get a handle on it. And it's thanks to these researchers and these vaccines. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about also how close we came to many of these attempts to find a vaccine actually failing. You write in the book, for example, and I didn't know this until I read this, that Moderna didn't have the money to actually try even to create a vaccine as late as May of 2020.
Yeah, I didn't realize it myself till I started talking to them.
I was like, holy Moses.
Yeah, it's a little scary because put yourself in their shoes. They're researchers, they're employees, the manufacturing experts, and they're pretty convinced in May of 2020 that they've got a vaccine that's going to save lives. And their own families were affected. A senior person there, who I spent a lot of time talking to, his mother-in-law died. And he knew that they had a vaccine to help people. And yet they developed it. And there were early signs with mammals and early patients that it was going to create antibodies to fight off this virus. And yet they didn't have the money. And they went everywhere to try to get it. They went to the Gates Foundation. They went to the government. They went to Merck and said, Merck, hey, let's team up on this together. And there were various reasons why all those organizations and bodies wouldn't work with Moderna. And a lot of them are justified. Maybe they were working with another organization, or they already contributed a lot of money elsewhere to COVID, et cetera. They didn't have the funds, et cetera. And they were stuck. And again, yeah, like you said, May of 2020. And what happened was, in the end, they were running out of money. They didn't have the money, the financing and the support. They turned to Wall Street. And you know, big bad pharma and big bad Wall Street sometimes do good. And they combine forces. And an investment bank, Morgan Stanley, wrote a check for $1.3 billion for shares of Moderna. And they turned around and sold it to their own investors. And we have to give them some credit for that.
Yeah. With that said, you mentioned Merck. They're one of the companies that didn't succeed, frankly, in making a vaccine. And you talk about really just not getting behind the pandemic fast enough.
Yeah, that was one of the big surprises in my book. If you think about it, who should have saved us? It should have been the vaccine giants, the ones that we bring our kids to get all the mumps and all the others, measles, et cetera. And that's Merck, and that's GSK, and that's Sanofi. And yet they either tried and failed or didn't try that hard. They weren't sure this would be a pandemic. They weren't sure it was going to spread. It's also the case, it's really important to understand that the vaccine business until this past year was kind of seen as a loser business for people in the pharma industry. You give a vaccine, you know, every once a year or once a lifetime, and that's it. Whereas like a statin you take every day, and you can make more money on those kind of things. And you can charge a lot for the drugs. You can't really charge that much for vaccines. So it kind of took these unlikely scientists and characters that I write about in my book to step up. People at Moderna, people at this company, BioNTech, and Mainz, Germany. They're not household names, and yet they're the ones.
Well, what was your biggest takeaway from writing this book?
I was reassured. I was reassured that there was years of work that went into these vaccines. They weren't done overnight. And I was reassured that the people working on them are not political in nature. They are Republicans. They're Democrats. They are ambitious. They're quirky. They're competitive. They're unusual. They're interesting characters, but they're not political. There's a saying that I've heard among them. When you mix politics and science, you get politics, meaning they try to steer clear of politics, and they're wary of it. And they've got personal opinions for sure, but they're ambitious and they're competitive, and they want to save lives. So that was very reassuring for me.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to us. The book was fascinating. So I'm sure it took a lot of time and dedication to write. So thank you so much.
Oh, great to be here. And I'd love to hear from the audience. If anybody wants to reach out about A Shot to Save the World, I'd love to hear from them.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Wall Street Journal reporter Gregory Zuckerman. His new book is out now, A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.